Joining me now on the phone is Brian Mackey, State House reporter at Illinois Public Radio, WUIS-FM Springfield. And Brian is all things politics in Springfield, all things government in Springfield. Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Good morning, Rick. There's no politics in Springfield. Come on.
Yeah, right. Even the state fair is full of politics, let's face it. I watched the president's performance in Granite City. I know you watched it as well. And the thing that struck me, and I mentioned this earlier in the program, is, yeah, this is a great victory for Granite City, getting that U.S. steel plant open again. But what about the larger concern about the greater effect of the agricultural economy and the issue of trade and tariffs on Illinois agriculture?
Yeah, no, that's a big concern. I was not in Granite City for the president's visit, though I was down there about a month before talking to steelworkers, talking to farmers about that. And you know, people are staying in their relative corners, ideologically speaking. I think it's interesting that the local steelworkers union is actually endorsing the Democratic congressman in that district. They're also endorsing the Democrat for governor, even though they had obviously the Republican congressman was called out by name by President Trump at the event, and that's Congressman Mike Boston has sort of styled himself as, you know, he's co-chair of the Steel Caucus, and he has really done a lot of work to try and, you know, get these steel workers back on the job. But yeah, this is a district that also has a lot of farmers, as there are throughout Illinois. And now we have also this week the news of this, $12 or $13 billion in
the 12
new
billion,
ag subsidies?
Right, the $12 billion insurance program, as it were.
Right, but you know, farmers have been seeing the price of soy drop, and you know, the market, China had been a huge export market, particularly for Illinois farmers, and so that's something where there is still a broader concern. But it, you know, it was an opportunity for the president to take a victory lap this week.
Well, I found it interesting too, in that he did kind of touch on this issue of agriculture and the fact that his visit came a day after ostensibly agreement was reached with the European Union that they'll be buying, Europe will be buying more soybeans. But basically, at Granite City, the president just saying that he was pleased that farmers being interviewed by the media were saying that they're sticking with this president. And the president, in response, saying, you know, stick with me, be patient, what's good for one is good for all. And that urging of patience, because it seemed to be pointing to kind of the problematic difficulties that occur with international trade and tariffs.
Yeah, and you know, farmers are an interesting group, because you're right, they did support the president. The ones I've talked to, I've seen the same news stories where they seem to be continuing, by and large, to support the president. I mean, you look at the map of Illinois. Yeah, Hillary Clinton won Illinois by 20 or so percentage
17
points.
17 percentage points.
Okay, yeah, but the entire state is mostly red outside of the Chicago area. There are a few little blue islands at some of the downstate cities, but for the most part, you know, where Illinois is farmland, President Trump was successful. But you know, people stick to, you know, there's so many issues that are important to people beyond just these sort of. People don't make their voting decision based on, you know, a sort of Excel spreadsheet of whether this is good for my bottom line. And I think we're continuing to see that, you know, there are cultural signifiers, and just the idea that you know, President Trump seems to be channeling the anger about societal change that a lot of people are feeling, that seems to be keeping his popularity up among certain segments of the population.
Well, and I know, too, you know, we're still seeing and waiting to see some of these delayed effects of the imposition of tariffs, including with aluminum and steel, and the demand for domestic steel as a result, creating that opportunity in Granite City. But you have Republicans who had ostensibly planned on running on the tax cut issue as a big victory for their reelection campaigns. And then there's the prospect that the price of goods may increase and wipe out any of those gains that individuals made from the change in the federal tax law.
Yeah, and that's, you know, this is where so much of our elections now are just about where people sort of fall on cultural signifiers beyond, you know, it's so this is why, I remember when the president, I think it was on his visit to Springfield when he was still just a candidate, was around the time he was, I think one of the big stories out of it was he was criticizing Starbucks for the design of their December cup because it wasn't Christmassy enough, if I'm remembering this correctly.
I believe you're correct, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, it's these sort of things that get people fired up more than a sort of cold-hearted economic analysis. You know, I heard a political strategist say that, you know, this is about a year ago, and I think it's still true, that the main divide in running for office nowadays is not Democrat or Republican or liberal, conservative, black, white, anything like that. It's really insider versus outsider. And if you do think of politics in that frame, it explains the success of President Trump, because he certainly portrayed himself as the outsider compared to Secretary of State, former First Lady Hillary Clinton. It explains in Illinois the victory of then candidate, non-politician Bruce Rauner over the Pat Quinn, who'd run for statewide office, I think, on just about every ballot for the previous couple of decades. And it also explains the victory of President Obama, and in some cases, the victory of President Obama with the same voters who later voted for President Trump, because people just want something different from Washington. They want to feel like they're being heard, and you know, if that means somebody who's going to break the pottery, that seems to be what they're happy to have.
We're speaking with Brian Mackey, Statehouse reporter at Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM in Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Not Showcase, Skyline studio. Old habits die hard. I'm up here on the 18th floor overlooking the lake and the river. Very, very tranquil today. Joining me on the phone from Springfield is Brian Mackey, Statehouse reporter for Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM. We've been talking about President Trump's visit to Illinois, to Granite City Steel in the Metro East area. I noted earlier that he didn't come to the suburbs, which I think seem to be a real battleground, particularly in Illinois, particularly with the constant kind of swing of moderate suburban women voters, and that what a key demographic they are to our politics these days, and various polls showing that the president's not doing well in what are normally traditional Republican suburbs, in part because of not great support among women. I still think moderate suburban women are the key in some of these races.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly a reasonable sounding explanation of how people are looking at voting these days. I think the president's visit obviously was motivated mainly by being at that steel mill, since he is
taking a victory lap kind of thing.
Exactly. This is the sort of the living embodiment of that red hat, you know, that says "Make America Great Again." From his perspective, this is him, you know, bringing America's manufacturing steel worker sort of economy back, or at least, you know, portraying that as happening. Whether that is the, you know, true broader picture after 4 years in office, we'll have to wait to see. But, you know, those suburban women and appealing to them also explains why I think our governor decided he was, you know, a notable politician who did not go to President Trump's visit. There were three Republican congressmen there, but the governor had another event elsewhere in the state that day and said he couldn't make it to greet the president in Metro East, the Illinois side of the St. Louis metropolitan area.
And that he had been in Granite City the week before, so he didn't see a need to go back again.
Right. Well, and, you know, and this is, the governor has had to try and walk a very fine line because, as we've been saying, the president is very popular with a lot of Republican voters, but Illinois is still a blue state. As you mentioned, the President Trump lost Illinois by double-digit percentage points, and the governor has barely won the Republican primary, only by 3 percentage points, really needs Republican and conservative voters to get excited for him and turn out this fall. And so on the one hand, he doesn't want to be too critical of the president. But on the other hand, he has expressed displeasure at some of the things the president has done regarding the family separation policy. When a week or two ago, when the president appeared to be taking Russia's side in view of the Russian election hacking and interference that actually included targeting the Illinois voter registration database. Yes. It's a very fine balancing act that the governor is trying to do to, not irritate the base of Republican and conservative voters, but also try and appeal to them and, keep appealing to people who may be persuadable to vote for him again this fall.
Well, and we saw the governor at a campaign-style rally in Rosemont a few weeks ago with Vice President Mike Pence introducing Pence, giving the vice president and President Trump credit for an economy that's roaring again. And I almost kind of get a feeling that if Governor Rauner had his way, he would have Mike Pence be the president, and that in a way he seems to be kind of trying to parse the White House here by talking a lot about Pence, because we know that he does not like to talk about Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of sort of traditional, more Chamber of Commerce style Republicans, business, who have more of an interest in business issue. I mean, the governor famously campaigned on "I don't have a social agenda," really refusing to discuss issues like same-sex marriage and abortion rights back in 2014 when he was running. Of course, the legislature, which is run by Democrats, has a way of putting social agenda items or social issues on his agenda so that he has to take a stand. That's one of the privileges and costs of being governor, is that you have to decide whether or not to sign bills. But I think a lot of sort of corporate Republicans would rather just focus on issues like tax cuts. And in that way, the governor is really embodying a battle that that a lot of Republicans are having to make. They like the president's tax cuts. They like some of the things he's doing, but other things they want to distance themselves from.
And it is a very difficult, I think, navigation to try to achieve, particularly as we're going to continue to see more and more, as if we haven't seen enough already, Democrat J.B. Pritzker weighing in to try to create that linkage, as what was originally, he called Rauner Trump's silent partner, and then has now evolved into a chief cheerleader kind of thing. But I'm curious how you see the effects of the third party candidate, the conservative party candidate, Republican State Senator Sam McCann, in this.
Yeah, it's obviously too early to tell, and we'll know in November, right?
Yeah.
But one of the conventional wisdom in Springfield is that both the third and, I guess you'd say, fourth party candidates, there's also a Libertarian candidate on the ballot, both of those are more likely to cut into Governor Rauner's vote total than they would the Democrat J.B. Pritzker. The governor, as we said a few minutes ago, barely won the primary election this spring because of an insurgent challenge by a state representative named Jeannie Ives, who is a very conservative politician in Springfield. She's from the suburbs, the western suburbs. And she challenged him really on just a handful of issues. She made the centerpiece of her campaign. One was signing a bill last year that allowed for public funding of abortions in Illinois for women who are on either the Medicaid program or are state or university employees in Illinois, that for the first time they can have public funding of abortions. The governor also signed a bill that the Democratic sponsors say was meant to foster trust between law enforcement and immigrant communities. And when the governor signed it, there were police officers standing behind him, but some conservatives have tried to portray that as a so-called sanctuary bill. And so those were two of her key issues in the campaign, and the governor, like I said, barely won that. So he is really trying to shore up his conservative support, and having a candidate on the ballot, Sam McCann, the state senator, as you mentioned, who has the word conservative, that's the party label that's going to be right under his name, the bet that Senator McCann is making and some of his backers, which include a labor union that has no love for Governor Rauner, they're hoping that voters will just sort of pick that as a protest vote. They won't bring themselves to vote for a Democrat if they're dissatisfied with Rauner, but if they want to vote for someone, they can take that conservative box.
A lot of things to shake out as we start moving more intensely into the election campaign season. Brian Mackey, State House reporter at Illinois Public Radio, WUIS-FM Springfield. We'll see you in a few weeks at the fair.
Yeah, I'll see you then. Bring some sunscreen.
And you buy the corn dogs, all right?
I'll see you there.
Thanks for being on the show.
All right, have a good weekend, Rick.